So as we've been talking about for years, they're bringing in the digital ID.
And that is why today I am announcing this government will make a new free of charge digital ID mandatory for the right to work by the end of this parliament.
We are going to transform the relationship between citizen and state because it is absolutely important and vital that we do so.
All UK citizens will have to have one. Well, the plan is that we're going to roll this out by the end of
Parliament. My question is, what if I don't?
Let me spell that out. You will not be able to work in the United Kingdom if you do not have digital ID. It's as simple as that.
It's all coordinated, which is the backbone of every plan they have for the future. Like, this part has to be force down our throats to make the whole rest of it work.
The rule will be that you can't work if you don't have digital ID. And the reason for that is that too many people are working illegally.
Absolutely, totally coordinated. You know, it wasn't until COVID in the last 4 years that we really were able to see how easily all these mega corporations and governments can coordinate with each other right in lockstep when they really want to for something that they've all decided benefits them.
Australians won't have to pull out their licence at the pub anymore under a gold standard digital ID being developed. Government Services Minister Bill Shorten is today unveiling the new initiative. It means when you enter a club or hotel, a digital token will be sent to that business to verify you are who you say you are.
And this is despite the fact that the dangers around this are real. This isn't just about a bunch of people that don't want to move into the high-tech future.
So what does the WEF Partnership Against Cybercrime want? They're very open that they want a regulated internet. So essentially what this public-private partnership that the WEF is pushing for is for every person's access to the internet to be tied to a digital ID.
This is about the fact that we all know that these entities are not trustworthy with this kind of data. And the big push right now in the UK specifically is...
Breaking in the UK right now, digital veteran cards have officially launched and are said to be serving as a case study for digital ID. The card, it's not a card, is it? It's on your phone.
It's pretty fantastical to behold.
You must have ID, mandatory digital ID, in order to work because we have to stop illegal working.
That is our totally and utterly dishonest Prime Minister at every single level. If you are a foreign worker in Britain, you already have to show a form of digital ID as a foreign worker to your employer on your phone.
This crafty scheme was not in Labour's manifesto. Even the Cabinet thinks this whole thing is a fantasy. The Secretary of State cannot even bring herself to tweet about it. Why does the Prime Minister keep handing her his steaming messes to scoop up?
First up, digital ID, four words you need to learn and fast. I will not comply.
Digital IDs. This is something we need to fight back against as the people. We need collective strength here where we resist mass surveillance. We resist the constant need for the government to tell us what to do.
The Brit card is not about making your life easier. It's about making you easier to track, control and punish if you step out of line across whatever line of the day is deemed important.
Groups like Together, headed up by Alan Miller,
yeah,
and also Big Brother Watch and
Southie
College.
We'll talk to them later.
I've been warning about this, and to be honest, I thought they were being a little bit paranoid. But the truth is, I was wrong, and they are right to acknowledge that this continuity Blairism just won't go away. This is unneeded. This is an overreach. It is dangerous to let the government intrude in your privacy in such a fashion.
Keir Starmer, the globalist puppet communist scumbag, announces his desire for digital ID and the fact that he's making it compulsory. I'm never, ever, ever going to engage with your digital ID.
Starmer is treating the public like we're complete idiots. He's used the pretext to rehash a very old policy that's really unpopular. And he's thought that by tapping into these concerns
and then talking about patriotism, that he could sell it into the public in a new way. That's backfired. You don't understand patriotism at all. You don't understand British values, because this is about as un-British as it gets. We've always rejected ID cards, and we're going to reject them this time around.
This is not about Luddites versus modernisers. This is about the fact that Labour cannot resist its big, fat socialist dreams. Centralised databases, state mandations, big money, the exclusion of private sector expertise. Why create this honeypot for hackers? How much is this going to cost? And why should we trust Labour to be the verifier of someone's identity when during the Data Act's passage, they would not even commit to recording someone's sex accurately?
Damn! Last year, you had the UK Department for Science, Innovation and Technology putting out a Christmas video about how the young kids are going to get to use their phone for their ID this year. And they show this guy go in with his wallet.
All right, mate.
Can I get a pint of lager, please?
Yeah, of course. Can I just use my
beer? Yeah, no worries.
It's got it somewhere here.
You know, when you just can't pull out a wallet. It's so hard. Having a wallet is so hard. That's why we've had that forever. This commercial reminds me of those infomercials, those first world problem infomercials where somebody's doing something in the kitchen that we've all done a bajillion times, but they just can't do it because there's got to be a better way.
You roll, you press. Now your bathroom looks a mess. And why is it impossible to get out the last drop of toothpaste? There's got to be a better way.
You know what? Here's an idea. If you can't pull out a wallet without throwing everything on the floor and freaking out, maybe you shouldn't be drinking alcohol. I don't know. It's a thought I had. Like, maybe that's not a good choice. Maybe you should reevaluate your life decisions.
I know it's a surprise for everyone, but I don't get asked for my ID anymore. But for loads of young people, they get asked all the time when they want to buy a drink. So we're changing the law so that next Christmas, young people will have their ID on their phone, so they won't have all of the hassle of needing to get ID.
They're trying to just make this seem like it's going to be so smooth and cool and awesome. But here's the problem with this, okay? Because there's a bunch of problems. We've already talked about ad nauseum on this channel almost. It feels like Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, smart cities. And the levels of surveillance and control required to run these systems. They are continuous feedback loops that require constant data to work. That's what they eat. They eat data and they need it constantly to function. So having the government, who I'm sure we all trust, right? 1000%, especially in the last 5 years, really trustworthy institutions, definitely somebody you'd want to tell all of your intimate secrets to.
The trust between the people of this country and governments is at an all-time low.
Everything about yourself, everything you do, everywhere you go, everything you buy. You definitely want the government to have all of that about you in one place. That's super great. And not a threat at all, because as we've seen, they've been totally even-handed and normal about people having opinions online that disagree with the government, dissent. We've all seen that that's been handled really stellarly, right? That's been handled quite well.
Basically, Section 19 refers to spreading what we say like racial hatred. So you've posted something online that we believe is spreading racial hatred.
Twitter, Facebook, what?
I can't explain too much. It's just to give you the context beforehand.
What, you're taking me away now?
Yes. So you're under arrest, so you're going to Harrogate, unfortunately.
You're taking me to Harrogate in the middle of the night over a tweet?
I am, unfortunately.
Is this what you signed up the police to do?
This is my role.
So there's no problem with this. It's insane. Everything that's going on is insane, by the way, in case you haven't noticed. It's asinine. This is so dumb. It's as if they wrote 1984 and then went, okay, we're all going to go get in that now. We're going to live there. Do you want to come? It's going to be super fun. That's what this is like. And watching them try to extol the virtues of this with a straight face after everything they've done to lose trust with the public is kind of, it's an amazing shit show to see. This kind of system, and we've said it for years now, You'd be hard-pressed to want this kind of one-ring level Lord of the Rings power in the hands of any entity, really, at all. You would be hard-pressed to find any organization or institution that you would want to give this level of information about yourself in one centralized location to, even in the best of circumstances, right?
Now, I think everybody can agree, we don't trust the government, so why would you trust them with your information?
We just so happen to be in the worst of them, I think. We're probably in the most lowest trust society in these Western countries, especially, that we've been in many, many, many decades with this technology. So this is the worst time to be handing off this level of power over your life to these governments and to these corporations. It's insane. It really is. So first, let's talk about why this is not a good idea, just on the top of things. The top of things is that even if the government says, we're only going to bring this in right now to only do this one function, as you know, and as I know, and as we've all seen, governments change and governments take power when they decide to, and governments do things that's way outside of the purview of what they were ever even consented to or created for in the first place. And they do it all the time under the guise of whatever, emergencies, war, whatever they think of, whatever, whatever.
A state that basically thinks that the only way they can govern us is to survey us, is to snoop on us, is to keep tabs on us, is something that we should see, and the word you used is quite right, sinister.
So that's the first thing. And there are articles all over that you can find about what some of these dangers are. This one's from The New Scientist. It was written just a couple days ago. This journalist is talking about usage creep, right? The government might start using such a platform once it has it all up and running and has everybody on it in much more invasive ways than they originally promised. Because of course they will. That's the thing. I don't understand the security theater people, the ones that are like, but it's for my safety. The government is going to make you safe. When has that happened? Can someone please show me when we have been made safer by any of this power and control that's been given over? The safety that the government promises you is like when your parent comes in when you're a little kid and you said there's a monster under the bed, and the parent doesn't even pretend to look under the bed and just says, it's safe, go back to sleep.
You'll be asleep before you know it. Good night, Billy.
With the amount of money that has been put into these systems and the amount of people that have worked on them to build them ever since computers became a thing, if we were going to be safe, we'd be safe already, okay? This is not it's a growing new changing threat. It is not. The growing new changing threat is coming from these governments. That's what it's coming from. It's not coming from the average person. I'm sorry, but no. It's safety theater. It's an illusion at best. The government can't keep you safe, and it won't keep you safe, and it actually has no vested interest in doing so, because every time something bad happens, they pounce on it for more power and move in the direction of more authoritarianism and control. So that's not a thing. But this New Scientist journalist is saying here, what happens when a government implements a digital ID on your phone that's supposed to be for verifying your citizenship status when you apply for a job or whatever? At a basic level, this app will snuggle up to all the other apps on your phone, possibly sharing data with them. Some of these apps have access to sensitive information, like bank accounts, doctor's appointments, personal conversations, and photos. These apps are already gathering information about you that you don't even realize most of the time, such as your location, your spending habits, other apps on your phone, all kinds of stuff. There are companies that specialize in extracting this data from, say, a dating app and selling it to a third party, and that includes government agencies. So the only thing that's supposedly protecting people in the UK right now from a government app that tracks their location by tapping into this unrelated data that's just all in the phone apps is the government itself. So there's a lot of trust. This is all based on trust. You have to trust this government that they're going to do what they said they were going to do with this. And what I'm saying is, why would anybody do that at this point? At this point in the year of our Lord 2025, why would anybody trust governments to do what they said they were going to do? There's a usage creep trap here. It's being pointed out that a government could start using this ID in much more invasive ways than they originally said they would. It says, who cares if the government knows where you are every second of the day? If it's easy to buy gum without a credit card, that's great, until they decide you're the bad guy.
You're taking me to Harrogate in the middle of the night over a tweet.
Which is happening in the UK all over the place when they silence people for posting things on social media by coming to their house at 2 a.m. and knocking on the door to talk to them about their social media posts, when they are arresting people to put in social media posters into jails. Because that is what is going on. I hate to say it, but we're really right back where we were 300 years ago with some of this stuff in terms of the government censorship and control over people. But this is a whole new level of control with having this much data. It's really insane that we're even about to consider walking into this as a human race at this time. And so there's all these articles, you can find them everywhere, about how this is a danger. And by the way, part of the PSYOP is saying, well, they're already spying on you. They already have all your information. So why does it matter? Well, obviously not, because if that was just the case, they wouldn't need to do this, right? So that's part of the PSYOP, is there's a lot of bots online right now, especially on social media platforms, that have been programmed to try and extol the virtues of this agenda to you and make it appear as though there's widespread public approval. These bot comments are usually posted at the top underneath government posts and what have you. And they're literally AI that's been trained, programmed to try to train and program you to accept this agenda. Obviously, this wouldn't need to be taken to this level if they already had what they needed. So the idea that they've already got everything and we should just go along with it is ridiculous. But a lot of people don't realize that when they're on the internet now, they're most likely interacting with AI every single day. But that is what's happening. So if you don't have the government having all your information in one place being scary enough, considering how authoritarian these governments have become, then you also have all of this hacking potential. And this is sensitive data. It's all the stuff about you. And if you haven't seen it and you don't know this, we live in a world where world leaders are now having a designated person who carries around their poop suitcase. Okay? That's the level we're at. There's a man whose whole job, well, maybe it's not his whole job. He's probably got other stuff to do. I mean, I can't imagine his whole job is just carrying around Putin's doo-doo all the time in a suitcase that's handcuffed to his wrist. But that's a thing now, because apparently your biological material is so valuable with this technology, they can basically decode you and use that against you in ways that are very frightening.
But once you can probabilistically and through modeling be able to much better see what's going to happen. Take, for example, the fact that we already can start to see signs of Alzheimer's many, many decades potentially before a person starts to manifest the condition. Do they want to know? And if they don't want to know, should other people have the ability to know? Should an insurance company be able to make choices about whether to cover them? Should an employer have access to that information to make decisions about whether or not they are somebody that they auto-employ?
So they have doo-doo suitcase, guys. That's what they do. They just walk around with a doo-doo suitcase handcuffed to their wrists and make sure no one else gets access to the doo-doo. Can you imagine if that was your job just for a second? I mean, you just like, you get up every day, get dressed, look yourself in the mirror, and you're like, yeah, that's what I'm going to go do. I'm going to go carry that doo-doo. Whatever. It's 2025. We're all carrying doo-doo, right? Anyway.
Recent leaks and media coverage may have given you the impression that ID cards are about to be dumped. I'm afraid nothing could be further from the truth. Inside Parliament, in a battle that's taken so far almost 2 years, a general election, and now three Home Secretaries, the government have managed to force through a piece of legislation that is not only their widest attack on civil liberties to date, but that represents a fundamental shift of power between the citizen and the state. The people inside here are not our masters. They are public servants, accountable to all of us. Something that this government seems to have forgotten in its pursuit of its ever more authoritarian agenda. Even during the course of NotoID's battle, they've made it illegal for people to protest outside Parliament. Something that people have had the right to do for many hundreds of years.
And in case you didn't know, Tony Blair was trying to get this put in the UK years and years ago. And it was not popular. This was not popular. And it actually ended up falling apart. And he's come out now, of course, once again on the scene to say how great this is going to be for everyone.
We can ensure that digital ID enhances rather than threatens personal privacy. The key is building trust.
To have this Cthulhu of the void feasting on everyone in some surveillance nightmare. Here's just one example of how this could be used, coming from his own Institute for Global Change. Because as you all know, if we're going to have global change, we definitely want Tony Blair on that. anyway, it shows right here that there's a keep your community clean and safe area to report issues. And one of those issues has to do with noise complaints, vandalism, etc. So you could turn your neighbors in for all these things, right? And then at the bottom, you get a community impact score for how many reports you've made, issues you've fixed. I'm doing derisive air quotes. I mean, you're getting scored on how many times you're turning in reports here. They're gamifying, basically turning your neighbors into informants like it's some kind of Stasi level, but with a gamification layer added. That's what this looks like. I mean, come on.
And for vaccines, you've got to have a proper digital infrastructure.
You can only see this in a good light if you're trying as hard as you can to ignore the reality of what world we actually live in right now.
And the shameful thing is that the people who created the war are still being given awards, are still making huge amounts of money, and in the case of Tony Blair, is still being invited onto the BBC to give his views on absolutely everything, instead of being in the dock at The Hague, which is where I think most people in Britain would like him to be.
When they create an illegal migrant problem, they facilitate those people into our country and then tell us that the only solution is for us to all give up our freedoms and have a digital ID.
This is what they did. They're doing the you break it, you buy it strategy of just opening the borders, letting in everyone, pissing everyone off, and then going, oh no, look what we did. We spilled the milk. We're going to have to pick that up. And here's how we're going to do it in a way that sucks for you all. That's right, because we need more control. We obviously didn't have enough when we completely caused this entire situation so that we would have a problem that we could then justify the solution after getting you all to react to. Problem, reaction, solution, absolutely. And that's what this obviously is. And so they tried to do this, but it was ultimately scrapped under Tony Blair's coalition government back in the day. Deeply unpopular. No one wanted to do it. I can't imagine why he's even coming out showing his face again. If they actually want to get this through without pissing everyone off, he should probably go somewhere for a while and just chill out of sight. Because nobody wants to think about anything this man tries to come do.
The key is building trust.
Who even wants to hear? It's like he's such a rat of a man. Anyways, the fact that having all of this stuff in one centralized location and in the hands of a untrustworthy authoritarian government that's trying to set up a pre-crime surveillance state, the likes of which Philip K. Dick wrote about back in the day. The fact that that's happening should be enough for everyone. It really should. But it's not really why this is so. If this was just it and that was just it, that would still not be great. But we know that there are plans for further control.
From October 12th, those entering Europe on a non-EU visa will have to register their biometric data.
And behavior modification. We absolutely know it because they tell us all the time.
One ubiquitous type of ID, and certainly that it was digital, and certainly that it was biometric. And now we've really worked with all our partners to actually help that being, to grow this. And the interesting part of it is that, you know, yes, it is very necessary for financial services. But not only.
Sure.
You know, it's also good for school enrollment. It's also good for health, who actually got a vaccination or not. It's very good to actually to get your subsidies, you know, from the government.
Citizens will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording and reporting everything that's going on.
There's no realistic solution to the climate transition that does not involve a globally coordinated system of carbon taxes.
I had a discussion some months ago with the mayor of Los Angeles, who told me in 2030, Los Angeles will be private car-driven free.
We should be taking into account the impact of our flying on the planet now. And that's
for pushing up the tax on flying.
You push up the tax on flying, you push up the cost on transport, and that's in part what putting a price on carbon is.
Particularly animal agriculture is a major source of greenhouse gas emissions, a major driver of climate change. So one thing people can do to help, in this case, is to eat less meat.
But people are not willing to give up meat. Yeah, you know, some people will be willing to, but other people, they may be willing to, but they sort of, they have a weakness of will. But so here's the thought, right? So it turns out that we know a lot about, so there, we have these intolerance to, so I, for example, I have milk intolerance. And there's some people are intolerant to crayfish. So possibly we can use human engineering to make it the case that we're intolerant to certain kinds of meat.
Somebody from the UN Food and Agriculture Organization sent me this report. This came out in 2013. Nobody ever reads these things. But he said, this is important. You have to read this. So I read it and ended up writing an article about it. It was published in May of 2016. UN let them eat bugs. The report was about how they're going to make us eat bugs. How meat and chicken and traditional agriculture were not sustainable. And the food of the future was going to have to be creepy crawlers. And they actually have a big section in the report about, you know, those Westerners, they're pretty picky with their food. They're not really going to want to eat bugs. We're going to have a major propaganda campaign.
They're building a system that's going to link to this, and it's going to be able to track, trace, and control everything that you buy.
A key difference with the CBDC is that central bank will have absolute control on the rules and regulations that will determine the use of that expression of central bank liability. And also, we will have the technology to enforce that.
Once you have the digital money system, then there's all sorts of services and applications that can be built on top of that.
We're developing, through technology, an ability for consumers to measure their own carbon footprint. What does that mean? That's, where are they traveling? How are they traveling? What are they eating? What are they consuming on the platform? So, individual carbon footprint tracker.
They're going to be able to use that data to put in these systems, and we're already starting to see it. And I don't know if you've seen this going around on X, if you're on X at all, but they've been sharing this picture of a Rainer's sandwich. The packaging has a carbon score up at the top, and people are debating whether or not this is real. It's a package for a sandwich that says eating this uses 8.1% of your daily dietary carbon allowance. Now, what? Where are they getting this 8.1%? Why is it 8.1%, not 8%? What is this? What is your daily dietary carbon allowance anyway? Is that even a thing? Well, I don't know if this particular picture is real, but what I do know is that this company is absolutely involved in that. They've been part of a project to try and get this kind of measurement going. They're using a real-time data processing thing with dedicated AI via a gamified interface to figure out these percentages and to try to put this on, okay? And there's a whole article you can read, foodmanufacturer.co.uk, and it talks about the problem with carbon labeling and its solution. It has these two guys that are working on the Rainer Foods model. It's part of the Innovate UK funded project. It's like they've gotten $2.5 million to do this, and they're measuring CO2 and monitoring it across the entire chain so they could try to give a percentage here on this. It's dynamic CO2e monitoring, which allows Rainer Foods to report the embedded carbon per delivery consignment to a wholesale customer. And by the end of the project, print a bespoke dynamic carbon data percentage on every product. And so they're down here talking about how they get this number. The carbon emissions required to plant, grow, harvest, and process the components of this sandwich and then assemble and deliver it. And they total that and display it in grams, and they call that the carbon footprint. Once that's been calculated, they present the result as a percentage of a dietary carbon daily allowance using ONS statistics from the UK. And they compute this, and then they have a color-coded system. And it says here that they're calculating this footprint based on a basket of other comparable lunchtime options. And in parentheses, it says slices, pies, soup, salads, jacket potatoes, rather than just their own products to establish a meaningful basis for comparison. But as you can already see, none of this makes any sense. It doesn't. Some people eat breakfast for lunch. Some people eat all kinds of stuff for lunch. They don't just eat lunch items. This isn't real math, okay? That's what I'm saying. It has the flair of authority. But if you actually think about it for 2 seconds, this doesn't make sense. But this is the thing. We've already been told they want to tie these things to targets about how much meat a person is eating and things like that. Here's just one example. If you haven't heard of this before, it's called C40 Cities. It's a global network of mayors who have signed on to this. Mayors from 96 different major cities across the world, representing a 12th of the world's population and a quarter of the global economy. And they have signed on to this action to confront the climate crisis. And they put out this report back in June of 2019 called The Future of Urban Consumption in a 1.5 degrees Celsius World. And in it, they have targets that we're supposed to reach. And they call these targets interventions to intervene and change our consumption to fight climate change. And I just want to show you a few of them real quick. I'm pretty sure I've shown you guys this before in another video, but as we've covered this topic so extensively in the last decade, I can't remember exactly which one it was, but it bears repeating anyway. Because if you're new to this, you haven't seen this in a while, you still need to see it because now all this stuff is coming together, right? All the things that before we were talking about in different various videos, this is all starting to come together. It's all starting to be like one big thing. And you can actually really start to see how this could play out, how it could be implemented. So for food, the progressive target by 2030 is 16 kilograms of meat per person per year. But the ambitious target is zero. Nobody eating meat. That's the target. Progressive target, 90 kilograms of dairy consumption. Ambitious target, zero. So they don't want people eating meat or dairy. If you scroll down, they also have interventions for clothing. Progressive target for clothing in 2030 is you can only buy 8 new clothing items per year. And it's unclear here of whether or not that counts like a pack of underwear, since that's multiple pieces in one package. But I mean, this is the level these people have thought of controlling everyone else. This is the level we're at. The ambitious target is you only get to buy 3 new clothing items a year. That's it for you. Private transportation, progressive target in 2030, 190 vehicles per 1,000 people. But the ambitious target is zero private vehicles. Nobody gets to own their own private car. Nobody. Aviation, progressive target in 2030, one short-haul return flight that's less than 1,500 kilometers every 2 years per person. Ambitious target, you only get to go one place every 3 years. So you don't get to go anywhere.
People of means who are going to travel, and then there's going to be people maybe who are of lesser means who might actually be able to use an Oculus or a Magic Leap or some other kind of device to travel to the same place, but from their own couch.
I mean, this is what we're talking about here. And how could they implement that? Well,
this specific brand, even the specific batch of this, if we link that with, AI technology and then big data and particularly Internet of Things. You know, there are ways for us to come up with instant measurement and reporting of the carbon footprint. I hope that through this we can help people to really make different choices.
We've already heard speakers at WEF back in 2022, for example. We had Alibaba Group President J. Michael Evans telling everyone how they're in the development of an individual carbon footprint tracker.
Individual carbon footprint tracker. Stay tuned. We don't have it operational yet, but this is something that we're working on.
The year before that, we had articles coming out in The New Scientist and The Independent. Should everyone have their own personal carbon budget? They've been trying to push this idea, right? Smack dab in the middle of COVID, they started trying to push this idea. They were like, oh, look, the lockdowns are so good for the environment. Remember that? Remember that talking point? Well, that's what this is. It fed right into this. It's all part of the same thing. Because once they get a digital ID and centralize all of that stuff, I mean, you've already probably seen this in your bank account. They're already separating out things that you buy by where you bought them. Like, oh, this is grocery. This is my light bill, whatever. They're already doing that. They're going to be able to do these percentages. It's not going to be based on anything that's actually legit. I mean, there truly is no daily carbon. That's not actually a thing. I'm sure they can come up with something. I'm sure they'll never really be able to explain what it's based on in a way that'll make any sense to anyone. There is no officially mandated dietary daily carbon allowance in the UK, but they're estimating reasonable targets, whatever. But it'll control, like, the whole idea is, though, is control at the end of the day. You want to know how predictable this is? This is so freaking predictable that while I'm sitting here trying to edit this video, somebody just got done posting their carbon footprint score from their NatWest app. And it shows you exactly how these banks are going to be doing this. Your bills cost this much CO2. Like, your bills are already bills that you pay, but they're going to assign a CO2 score to it now. So your bills, just the fact that you have bills, is also going to be a new bill. It's like a tax on taxes, okay? Eating out 41 kilograms of carbon, shopping 25 transactions, 327 kilograms of carbon. They're just going to add a new tax that they came up with on everything that you already pay for, that you're already taxed on. It's a tax on top of a tax.
Basically, the coffee that we all drink emits between 15 and 20 tons of CO2 per ton of coffee.
We already know that the people who are financially benefiting at the top off of this don't give two shits about this. They're flying private jets around so they can lecture us all about how bad our carbon is, eating whatever they want and giggling gleefully to themselves that they duped a bunch of carbon-based life forms into believing that carbon is the problem. Okay, that's what they're doing. And it really is all about making you feel guilt and shame for existing, just by the way. And in case you weren't sure, they give you a little estimated footprint for the month with an informational bubble that says, your carbon for the month of September is like flying from London to Kuala Lumpur. Which you can't even afford to do because you're just trying to survive and exist. Meanwhile, these leeches are like, here's a new tax for your taxes. You want to pay some tax on your taxes? How about another tax? This is yet again a bunch of emotionally manipulative hypocrites who stand to financially benefit from feasting off of everyone else like parasites that are using shame and guilt to demoralize us and push humanity into yet another phony control system based on their version of what's really going on here, their earth-based religion, which you have to have faith in because you have to trust that these numbers mean jack all and that they're actually based in any kind of consequential reality whatsoever. And not just the financial consequences that they've dreamed up in the dystopian nightmares they want to force us all into. Gee, where have we heard that before? Could it be literally all of human history? Just, I'm so sick and tired of these energy vampires sucking off humanity, man.
The current pandemic has brought unimaginable devastation to people's lives, livelihoods, and national economies. At the same time, the green recovery represents an unprecedented opportunity to rethink and reset the ways in which we live and do business.
If you have a digital ID, you can do things like this.
Can I get another pint, please?
Sorry, sir. Your Brit card says you've exceeded your alcohol quota for this week.
Sorry, sir. Your Brit card says you've already flown twice this year. We're having to restrict passengers with higher than average emissions profiles.
Sorry, I'm afraid your funds have been temporarily frozen. Your recent social media post did not align with the government's narrative.
Sorry, I'm afraid your Brit card says you cannot purchase any more meat this week as part of our commitment to achieving net zero.
That's the problem. See, this is where we go. Do you want the government telling you how many sandwiches you can have for lunch today? What if you're buying, just by the way, I'm like curious, what if you're buying sandwiches for a party? they're trying to conform human behavior to computers and we're not computers. People make weird random decisions all the time just because they feel like it, because we have emotions. Computers don't have those. But at the very least, this is some fuzzy math. And by the way, your carbon footprint, I just found this out. I just wanted to throw it in because I found it out. Did you know that that whole carbon footprint tracker thing was actually a 2004 propaganda campaign by none other than British Petroleum? That's right, BP, the Deepwater Horizon people. They're the ones who popularized the term carbon footprint in 2004 as a PR move.
Our crudest forms of energy production is now greenwashed in environmental views you can't help but love. Giving you a general positive feeling about the environment in our corporation is one of our most important propaganda messages. Because we care what you think.
And they even made a PR thing where they went out into London and they asked people, they put a microphone in their face and they said, hey, what's your carbon footprint?
What size is your carbon footprint?
Ah, the carbon footprint, that I don't know.
How much carbon I produce?
Is that it?
You mean the effect that my living has on the earth?
And they really went out of their way to push this idea that it's you personally. You're the one. If you just changed all of your behavior and your neighbor just changed all of their behavior, then the whole world would be better. Coming from BP, which I don't know if you're aware, but this is from a report called Carbon Majors, the Carbon Majors Database. This is a 2024 report, and I just want to show you for just a second, just so you could see for yourself. BP is 8th in the world for major emissions. So let me ask, does BP have a vested interest in promoting the idea that it's individuals like you that are causing the whole problem? And if you just stopped eating and farting and breathing, the world would be better, even though they're literally 8th in the world for the top 20 carbon major entities by emissions from 1854 to 2022, 8th in the world for that entire time period in emissions. It's laughably a joke, but they did. I found it on the Wayback Machine. They're telling everyone, come calculate your carbon footprint. It's time for you to go on a low carbon diet. Deepwater Horizon, I just want to say it again. Anyways, the thing is that once they get a digital ID system in there, they have all this data in one place, then they can start bringing in these further systems of control.
My chief concern, if you look at what AI is good at, AI is very good at simulating anything that can be expressed mathematically. And of course, the thing we all know can be expressed mathematically are our financial transactions. And the reality is, if I can track you closely where you're going and what you're doing, and I can get you on programmable money, which can be turned on and off, then I can start to use AI and surveillance systems and algorithms to basically manage and control your behavior.
While we're watching this unfold in the UK, my fellow Americans, please recognize that this is something they've been trying to do here as well for a very long time. This is all, and I'm not just talking about total information awareness. Everybody knows about the DARPA total information awareness with the all-seeing eye pyramid. Like, they came right out the gate. We'll see if we can just get it through with as blatant a move as possible. No, that's not going to work. Okay, we'll bring it in under the guise of a bunch of private corporations, and then people will accept it that way. But actually, this goes back many decades. They've been trying to figure out how to do this. It wasn't that long ago that we were fighting this off. I actually found out that during the Johnson administration, they started trying to push this kind of centralized government data thing here in America. And it was soundly rejected by everyone, politicians on both sides of the aisle. The ACLU came out to sound the alarm. They had professors and people in congressional testimony talking about why this was such a bad idea, how this was just going to be Big Brother. I think if you look up in newspaper archives, the phrase Big Brother is watching you, if you look that stuff up, it's everywhere, everywhere. Everybody seemed to know and recognize the danger of this, and that it was an asinine level of control to hand this over. The thing is that we actually don't have to, but that's the level we're getting to. We're getting pushed towards having to take a stand for something, having to say no, mass noncompliance, boycott, protest. We're getting pushed towards these things. And if we don't do that, and we all just walk into this controlled grid cage together, then I'm sure the powers that be think, well, that's what you deserve because you allowed it and you walked right in here and just laid down and took it. And I just wonder how much more of that is going to happen before we wake up one day and we're in every dystopic science fiction nightmare that's been put in a blender. Like, how much more are people going to surrender their sovereignty to these systems? Because it can get so much worse, and it's already bad, but it can get so much worse than this.
So I lived overseas. If you go to Shenzhen, back in 2017, they already had facial recognition cameras there. So if you jaywalked in Shenzhen, they would immediately detect that and send you a notification, and they would deduct money from your what they call WeChat account. They use two main apps, WeChat and Alipay. So you can actually deduct your money directly from your account. This is 4 years ago, so this is not like some sort of conspiracy theory. It's not something that's going to happen 10 years into the future. This happened pre-corona in China.
And that's before you get into the point that if you thought a two-tier justice system was bad, what do you think it's going to be like when it's rules for thee and not for me, having to do with elites and super wealthy people not having to do any of this at all? Because it won't apply to them, and I think we already all know that. I mean, come on, okay? Putting a fine on something just means it's legal for a price, and if you can afford to pay that fine, then you're out. You're good.
So let me get this straight. They're rolling out digital ID even when people don't want it? In the UK, over 2 million people said, no, we don't want it. The government's response? We're going to do it anyway.
People in the UK, almost 3 million people, in a very short amount of time, signed a petition saying they don't want this. And the government responded with, basically, get bent. We don't care what you want. We're not going to redress your grievances. They just straight said, we are doing this. This is not up for debate. You're not even allowed as the person living under this system to have that be redressed with the government because they're just going to tell you what you're going to do. And it just reminds me of another time in history where grievances were not being redressed. Didn't really end well for the British government then. Not sure how it's going to go this time, but they're making it pretty clear they're not listening to anything that any of you have to say on this. They don't care if you like it or not. They're doing it anyway. They're going to get right all up in your business for your convenience, whether you like it or not. And they've already said, your petition means nothing. Once again, the CBDC program, that whole entire program, is tied in with this digital ID. And now the Bank of England has upheld its refusal to release documents that show the links between the central bank digital currency system and the digital ID they're trying to bring in. It says an internal review signed off on by the bank's deputy secretary, Michael Salib, concluded that disclosure would have a, quote, chilling effect, end quote. Disclosing this information could lead to a successful breach of confidence claim against the bank. Although I would say, probably not that many people all that confident in it now. The issuance of a CBDC and digital identity framework remains a live and sensitive area of policymaking, it says, and that disclosure at this stage could inhibit the free and frank exchange of views essential for robust policymaking and may lead to destabilizing speculation or confusion in the market and the public. So they're not going to release these documents that show the connection between these two things, but you really don't need to see the documents. It's extremely obvious. And the entire foundation for getting this system going to where you can track and trace these kinds of things and try to implement conditions on everything would be through a digital ID system. That's a foundation that is needed to build out this entire control grid.
You could have, as I argue in my book, a potentially better and some people might see it, or a darker world where the government decides that units of central bank money can be used to purchase some things, but not other things that it deems less desirable, like, say, ammunition or drugs or pornography or something of the sort. And that is very powerful in terms of the use of a CBDC.
That's just at the low end of what can be done with this. That's before you get to a movie like Sandra Bullock's The Net. You step outside the lines of whatever regime is in charge. You had wrong think or whatever they want, literally. You're deauthorized. Your access to everything is just shut off. They'll get everybody tap dancing to literally whatever tune they want.
Right, imagine what they'll do is they'll introduce this digital ID and they're like, you know, it's going to be good migration, it's going to be helpful, convenient, it's going to be convenient and safe. Then there'll be some sort of crisis like a pandemic or a war or whatever. They go, right, unless you've got the digital ID card, you can't access these resources or attend these facilities or whatever it'll be. And then it would never go back to normal. Same as it never quite went back to normal after 9/11, never quite went back to normal after COVID, never quite went back to normal after 2008. They slowly escalate the tensions, legitimize the authority until you don't notice that you're not free anymore.
I watched the movie In Time recently. While I get that we don't live in a world where everything is paid out literally by a clock on our arm, that's what this system turns into at its ultimate conclusion. This system turns into a level of control that makes now seem like pure freedom. And a lot of people would say now is very oppressive and financially constraining, but now will look like pure freedom by comparison to what this system could become Why give this level of power and control over yourself to these corrupt entities that have shown nothing but contempt for humanity for such a very, very long time? I don't even understand why anybody would think this is going to be fine or good. If the potential is there for what could happen with this, it's a no. It should be no. It should be soundly rejected. It should be soundly rejected by everyone. There should be mass noncompliance. I mean, they don't have to literally turn people into cyborgs and chip them. You guys know that, right? They just have to use these systems and get inside your head. They could just control you remotely with data. This is where it goes. It goes to a place like the movie In Time, where you get up in the morning and the first thing you're going to be thinking about, your allowance for the day on these things that can be controlled. What's my allotted percentage of allowed whatever? Because that's going to rule your whole life. It's going to rule what you eat for breakfast. Your first decisions of the day will be governed by it, and then your rest of your entire day will be as well. So you will become basically a robot programmed by this system and controlled by it. That's how that ends. That's the only way it can end, because these systems require more and more and more data and more and more and more control to justify their existence. They feast off of it. That's what they eat. So at the end of the day, you become a robot programmed by governments and central banks and corporations. I mean, that's essentially what it is, in a much more direct way than we have ever seen.
Well, in order to get into the smart car, you have to match your phone up. Actually, there's two ways you can do it. One has to do with your phone, and one has to do with an RFID card they give you, and the card unlocks the car. You have to hold your tracker card up to the car, and that's how you get it to work. And so the guy was holding his phone up to the car to try and get the car to let him in, and it looked like the car wouldn't let him in.
He's been there for several minutes. He can't get into this smart car. He's calling somebody because he can't get into this damn car.
You could say that's how it is now, but that is nothing compared to what this could become. Nothing, nothing. Not even. So that's the ultimate conclusion that it comes out to. Mass behavior modification, mass control of your life, of you. This is like putting yourself inside the Truman Show and then engineering your mind to a point that you'll never be able to even think your way out of it.
I like to be an explorer, like the Great Magellan.
Oh, you're too late. There's really nothing left to explore.
So you would never even come to the idea of getting in a boat and trying to find the wall. You wouldn't even be able to conceive of it.
Why do you think that Truman has never come close to discovering the true nature of his world until now?
We accept the reality of the world with which we're presented.
And that's what this feels like. It feels like putting people into a control system that they will not be able to ever think their way out of. The whole thing feels like it's a matrix with a labyrinth inside, and it's designed for you to never be able to escape. That will generate generations of beings that can never escape it. Ever. I'm somebody that came from poverty when I was little. I have been witnessing for my whole life how money has been used to control everyone. And people will think of it before they will think of their own health, the well-being and safety of their children, everything, because it controls everything. But this system is, I mean, this is diabolical, and I mean that in a very straightforward way. What kind of demons came up with this? I really want to know. Like, what kind of actual demons walking around in human skin suits came up with this? Nobody should want to live in a world like this. We've seen people go along with a lot of things up until now, but this has got to be, this is like the hill. This is the line in the sand. This is the place where you say, I am not going into that box. This has got to be where you say, I'm not going into that cage. I'm not going to do it. You will not recognize yourself on the other side of this, the thing that you will become under this kind of control. By a system that's trying to make itself omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. And I just don't know why anyone would want to give themselves so fully to such an evil system. And I'm not mincing any of these words. I mean them all, exactly what I'm saying.
They are putting in place all of these technological mechanisms for control we've never seen before. It's been the ambition of every totalitarian state from the beginning of mankind to control every aspect of behavior, of conduct, of thought, and to obliterate dissent.
In some ways, I'm wondering what we've learned from history. I mean, COVID showed me that there are people who absolutely will go along with anything they're told to do if they're made scared enough. But at some level, you're just going to live in fear in a control system. That's not really living, especially once it becomes really, really over the line where you don't even get to make your own decisions anymore, really, because it's all within this ever narrowing window of possibility. It's like they put a digital control grid over the already control, like the matrix we already had. They put a new digital layer on top of that. It's even more control. At what level do we say that this is actually impeding life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Because it will. It will. No matter what slick guy in a suit trying to extol the virtues of how this is going to be good. I mean, look at the world around you. Has any of this been good? When is the last time anything was good? Ye shall know them by their fruits, okay? Not what they're saying. What is the outcome? What is actually being done? Look around at the world itself. It's eating and destroying people. These systems, they're so corrupt, they are to the point of cannibalism on the very beings that they were created to serve. That's the level. Giving more power through technology to those systems is not the answer.
So what we're talking about doing is building a system that will allow you to be surveillance and tracked and turn your money on and off, or incentivize you or penalize you in a variety of ways with your money that can be integrated with your behavior.
Well, behaviors are going to have to change, and this is one thing we're asking companies. You have to force behaviors, and at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors.
It's going to come to a point where people are going to have to say no. Actually have to. And everyone who's been sitting around going, oh, I just want to be left alone. Well, guess what? I hate to tell you this. I really do. Don't shoot the messenger, but they're not leaving any of us alone. And that has been made extremely clear in the last 5 years. We're not getting left alone. No one is getting left alone. They just start shutting down people's bank accounts in Vietnam because they wouldn't biometrically authenticate them. Anyone who refused got their bank account taken away. So they're not leaving anyone alone. And at some level, as we just keep progressing down this very authoritarian, technocratic, panopticon surveillance state, pre-crime minority report, insert 50,000 sci-fi films here, there's got to be a limit where people get together and say, we don't want to live like digital slaves.
Did you know the EU plans to launch its digital currency, the digital euro, in October 2025?
The deadline for us is going to be October of 25.
Some say the centralized bank digital currency, or CBDC, would be a great way to let Europeans pay more easily across borders. Others say, hey, haven't we been paying with bank digital currency for decades? I vaguely remember using my digital bank card to order a taco blanket on Amazon while smashed on edibles last night. Why is this different? Well, it's the C. And the C word here is a big c. C means centralized, which is code for you getting f***ed. The power will be with the European Central Bank. They are not elected by anyone, and they have as much control over your wallet as your average Berlin dominatrix has over most of her clients' testicles.
I'm tired. I am sick and tired of fighting these bastards. I don't want to fight. I wasn't put on this planet to fight, but fight we must. Because otherwise they're going to bring in a digital ID, and once that's in a digital currency, we will have total surveillance over everything that we do and we say.
You're creating the problem to offer the solution. Order out of chaos, they call it, don't they? Well, this is an open video for you. F*** you, Keir Starmer. I'm never going to engage with your digital ID. You can stick it up your ass.
Luckily, a similar system has been tested in China, and they are very happy with the amount of control it has given them over their slaves.
That is what we are quickly devolving into. Straight up. and it needs to be thrown into the fires of Mount Doom, okay? I don't know what else to say.
This is the sort of technology that we see in all these dystopian sort of films and whatever, and people keep putting it off and thinking that this is something that's going to happen later in my kid's lifetime or my grandkids. It's already here. And if this gets implemented anywhere, especially in a Western nation, it's not going away.
I feel like I've seen enough science fiction and read enough dystopic literature to last me a lifetime of warnings about why this is no good. It's interesting. I'll just leave it here. But Philip K. Dick, in the years leading up to his death, his untimely death, he was writing about how he felt like some of his work was already starting to come true. And he started to wonder if he was not writing fiction, but actually writing about the future before it has happened.
It seems to me that in many ways, ideas have a life of their own. They appear to seize on people and make use of them. The idea which seized me 27 years ago and never let go of me is this. Any society in which people meddle in other people's business is not a good society, and a state in which the government, quote, knows more about you than you know about yourself, as it is expressed in my novel, Flow My Tears, the Policeman Said, is a state which must be overthrown.
Overthrown. That is what he said. People want to act like this is just a bad dream, but notice that we're to the point that when you wake up in the morning, it's still going on. So we're not, the nightmare is still here. We're going to have to face it. And we're going to have to stand up for our sovereignty and our rights and our privacy, even if it's inconvenient. Because convenience is what's been used to suck us all into this. And it's not really that convenient when you basically give power and control over your entire existence to an untrustworthy, lying, corrupt authoritarian system. Everybody who's involved in this is either making money off of it or getting power out of it. So those aren't people who have any of the rest of us our best interests in mind. I don't even believe them when they say this is for the Earth. I think that's all just some greenwashed nonsense. And they've gotten a lot of adults to believe in a lot of nonsense. But that nonsense is about to get used to put in one of the most controlling systems that modern humanity has ever deigned to dream up. And if more of us don't start waking up from this nightmare, we're going to get trapped in it. And I don't know about you, but I'm not doing it. And I hope more people won't. There's more of us than there are of them. And somebody's got to start saying no.
How are you going to control the many when you are few? The way you're going to do it was with programmable money, but programmable money doesn't click in and work well unless you've got everybody on the grid. You need to be able to track them. You need to be able to watch their behavior. You need to be able to influence their behavior. And then you've got complete control. And that is not just wearables. That is not just an internet of bodies. That is a coup d'etat. That is the end of human liberty in the West.
Imagine how much harder it will be for your children, for your grandchildren, to express dissent, to even an alternative opinion, if they're being tracked and monitored by the authorities throughout their lives. We're not just fighting for an abstract principle here. We're fighting for freedom. Freedoms which were hard won, which we've had for so many years now, that many seem to have forgotten that they've got them in the first place.
For me, it's a slippery slope down a route of authoritarianism, governmental overreach, where the state is intervening in our lives too much.
I'm never going to do your digital ID, and I would urge everyone to take the same stand, because if you don't, this globalist communist scumbag is going to destroy your lives with digital ID, the digital currency that follows, and a digital prison. I think that's pretty obvious.
This is the time to stand up. This is the hill that we must all die on. This is our freedom that we have to fight for our children and our grandchildren and all of those that come behind us. Stand up, everybody. No digital ID.
My identity is mine. I decide who I trust with my most personal or private information. I'm responsible, law-abiding, tax-paying British citizen who doesn't need the government controlling and sharing my personal data, monitoring my every move or transaction, or telling me who I am.
I've no wish to be treated like a suspect all the time. So take your card and stay where the sun will never shine.
We cannot walk into this cage. I love you guys, but mass noncompliance.
I would like to solve the puzzle.